Perishing doesn't necessarily put an end to publishing, as two new books by Jack Kerouac and Iris Murdoch demonstrate. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
As a breed, writers are pack rats. And so when they die, they usually leave behind lots of paper, manuscripts, letters, diaries, juvenilia. Sometimes their surviving relatives house clean to the detriment of posterity, like Jane Austen's sister Cassandra, who destroyed most of her letters. These days, however, famous writers' heirs often succumb to the lure of easy money and allow lots of literary junk to be published that should have been tossed into the paper recycling bin. There was that dreadful Lost novel by Hemingway that resurfaced two summers ago. The recently published embarrassing love letters of J.D. Salinger to Joyce Maynard. I know, Salinger isn't dead yet. He just acts like he is. And with almost annual regularity, volumes of letters, doodlings, and drafts by the beat angel Jack Kerouac. The latest Kerouac book from the beyond is a novella called Orpheus Emerged that Kerouac wrote in 1945 when he was 23. It's pretty bad, but in an over-the-top, morbidly interesting kind of way. The story concerns a pilgrim soul named Paul, who immerses himself in Nietzsche, Dostoevsky, and cheap wine. Paul falls in with a pre-hipster student crowd around an unnamed university. The young men are all gloomy. They write poetry, argue about hypnoanalysis, and harbor unspoken homoerotic feelings for each other. The young women, referred to as the mistresses, wear tight pants and cook up plates of food that they place like silent offerings on the men's writing desks. Kerouac supposedly wrote Orpheus Emerged soon after meeting Allen Ginsberg, William Burroughs, and the rest of that infamous Columbia gang, so the novella has some Romana Clef appeal. The tortured arguments about art that compose much of its dialogue are also rather charming. Granted, not so charming that I want to read page after page of characters saying things like, "Pain is the law of the artist's life." But Orpheus Emerged did remind me of the earnestness of the Beats, and in this age of irony, I feel sentimental about their aesthetic sincerity. Probably the most intriguing aspect of Orpheus Emerged is the way it's being published, as an e-book, tricked out with interactive hypertexts, audio and video accompaniments, an introduction by Robert Creeley, and still more never-before-published shreds of Kerouac's journals. Fans of e-publishing argue that it's more democratic because manuscripts don't have to be vetted by gatekeepers of literary culture like agents and editors. Skeptics like me suspect that most e-books will read more like spam mail than literature. Gatekeepers may not be perfect, but they do help stave off the avalanche of words, words, empty words. Orpheus Emerged will probably slink back into the darkness after its debut, so it's fitting that it's being published in a comparatively ephemeral form. Not so Iris Murdoch's recently rediscovered short story, Something Special. Its mode of publication virtually shouts out, "This is great art." Something Special, a title which Murdoch surely intended to be ironic and which her publishers seem to have taken straight, is being printed in hardback on fine paper, complete with woodcut illustrations. All this for a short story that was published only once before in the 1950s, in Japanese. A lot of people, myself included, felt simultaneously queasy and grateful that Murdoch's husband, John Bailey, wrote that moving and humiliating memoir of her descent into Alzheimer's disease called Elegy for Iris. I'm doubly grateful that Bailey violated Murdoch's privacy after reading Something Special, which probably wouldn't have been published like this were it not for the renewed attention that the memoir drew to Murdoch. Something Special is a devastating short story about limited options and the pitfalls of romanticism. It takes place during one night in Dublin in the 1950s. A 24-year-old spinster named Yvonne is being pressured by her mother and uncle to marry her suitor, a moon-faced Jewish tailor named Sam. At first, Yvonne evokes sympathy. She's a dreamy bookworm who protests her mother's interference by saying, "Can't I live my life as I please, since it's the only thing I have?" But as Yvonne and Sam proceed with their evening date, she's obviously so hard to please and whingy that sympathy dries up. And then it floods back during the very last page of this dark and emotionally complex story. Literary grave robbing is largely an unsavory and unrewarding job. But every once in a while, the shovels strike a part of a corpus that's still kicking.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Something Special by Iris Murdoch and Orpheus Emerged by Jack Kerouac.